Monster Man, episode 345, Scamille to Sea Serpent.
Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games.
In today's episode, we're continuing our journey through the Monsters section of Creature Catalog, the 1986 supplement for Basic Dungeons & Dragons. Before we do that, though, let's take care of some business. Firstly, and most importantly, it's time to thank a new Patreon backer. Yes, this is someone who's gone to patreon.com/monsterman, and they've pledged as little as $1 a month to help support the show. If, like today's patron, you back at the $2 level or higher, you'll also get all new episodes, well, and old episodes too, I guess, of my other podcast, Patron Deities, which is all about the Deities and Demigods supplement and how to use religion and mythology in your games. We're currently getting underway on a series about Japanese mythology, and there's a new episode coming out this week. So thank you very much, Mark Durheim. It means a lot to me that you've chosen to support the show. Speaking of religion and mythology, don't forget that my project, The Pamphlet of Pantheons, is on Kickstarter right now. It's going to be up there until the 25th of February 2021, and if you like this show, I think you might like The Pamphlet of Pantheons. Finally, scheduling for this week. I've got, as I mentioned, a new episode of Patron Deities coming out this week, but instead of a Patron special episode, this week's episode is going to be a My Favorite Monster special. Richard August from Steamforge Games and I sat down and we talked about Cthulhu and incorporating Lovecraftian horror into fantasy role-playing games. This is likely to be the first of a series of episodes about incorporating Lovecraftian horror into fantasy role-playing games, because it turns out I know a lot of people who write stuff in the Lovecraft space, and that's great. Next week we'll be returning to our regular Patron special episodes. Alright, let's take a look at today's monsters. First up, we have the Scamille. I have no idea what's going on with this one. It's kind of a combination of elements, each of which individually makes sense, but put them all together and they're a bit odd. Let's start with the name. I have no idea what Scamille means. It's spelt like the name Camille, but with an S on the front. Maybe the idea is that because it looks like something that it's not, it's a shape changer, that's a scam? Or maybe someone just had a really bad breakup with Camille, and they've named a monster after her. Camille, more like Scamille, am I right? Like she never gave back their CDs. I don't know. It's basically another mimic-like creature, sort of similar to the Palomar. Unlike the Palomar, the Scamille can only disguise itself as an inanimate object, so in that respect, it's a little bit more like a traditional mimic. Like a traditional mimic, it has a low-level intelligence, and it's not necessarily hostile. So if you keep it fed, you can actually learn some things about the dungeon from it, in that it's not that bright, but it's not an animal. It's intelligent, it can talk. If it wants to attack, it latches onto its victim with a sticky pseudopod that you need giant level strength to break out of. Nobody else can even roll. Then it batters you with non-sticky pseudopods, each of which does 3d6 damage, so the Scamille is a pretty tough opponent. Now, normally, when I find two monsters in the creature catalog that are effectively identical, I know why. It's because they come from two different modules, and they're essentially two different authors' attempt to fill a gap that they perceived in the monster ecology, which is why they're so alike. But that's actually not the case with the Scamille, which does not come from a published module, as far as I can tell. I've seen it suggested that the Scamille is based on a Fiend Factory monster called the Goom, but I haven't looked that one up. I do have some of those old issues that had Fiend Factories in them, but my collection is far from complete, so I may not even have that one in the first place. So, I mean, maybe it's the Goom, but again, it's not clear what it's doing in here when the Palomar is already in here. They're not that different. And if someone had told the authors, like, listen, you gotta get every monster from every published module, then yeah, okay, it would make sense that there would be ones that were pretty similar to each other, but this is one of the rare monsters that isn't from something else, so I really don't know what this is all about. The final oddity about the Scamille is the illustration, and this I think is maybe just like a slight mismatch of the artist's style to the subject being illustrated, because what I think this illustration is intended to show, and if you have a copy of Creature Catalog, you can take a look at this illustration. If not, you're just going to have to believe me. What I think this illustration is intended to show is an adventurer being grabbed by the Scamille. That there's one sticky pseudopod has shot out and attached itself to his back, and then a bunch of other pseudopods are coming in to give him a pummeling. And the adventurer is wearing just a kilt. So he has a kilt, and he's kind of bare-chested, and I think he's meant to have a beard, like a chin-strap beard, but what it looks like is that the bottom part of his face is just kind of puffy and his chin is huge, and the way that the artist has drawn his skin just makes it look all strange and grotesque, and the texture's weird, and his skin's all wrinkly, and so because of that, his flesh doesn't look very different from the Scamille's. And it's you sort of look at him and you're like, oh, is he a projection of the Scamille? But I thought they could only mimic inanimate objects. And then you realize, no, the artist has intended this pulpy-looking oddball to just be an ordinary person. I think I figured this out when I looked at his sword, which is all chipped and gnarly too. And I think this person just likes drawing a lot of texture on stuff. It may be one of those instances where someone went, this person's got a great way of drawing monsters. And a lot of that texture, you can see the same artist has contributed a number of monster pictures throughout the book, and they look fine. It's just that in this case, it's weird, because this is not meant to be a monster. Or at least they have chosen not to represent the Scamille itself so much as its victim. And the victim looks as freakish as the Scamille ought to. But in terms of the Scamille as a monster, it's fine. It's another mimic-alike. The only weird thing is that it sort of duplicates a lot of what the Polymar does, but not completely. It's fine. Now, you may have heard at the beginning that I said Scamille to Sea Serpent rather than the usual Scamille and Sea Serpent, and that's because I'm going to blaze through two more monsters, which are ones that we've covered already in some detail. First up, we have the Seahorse. This is like, I can never remember which one it is. I think this is like the hippocampus from the Monster Manual, where the hippocampus is the one that's like a seahorse, and the seahorse is the one that's like a horse, but it might be the other way around. Heraldically, the hippocampus is the one that is a horsey with a fish tail. Either way, this is a giant seahorse, and tritons and similar aquatic humanoids ride around on the back of them. They are fine, but there's nothing to say about them. In my mind, I don't quite get how this is useful, because it's hard to envision this thing being faster than a triton. I have not looked to see whether it's faster than a triton. I'm sure it is. It just doesn't look like it ought to be, because seahorses are funny looking. Then we have the sea serpent. You guessed it. It's a serpent, a big one, and it lives in the sea. It is, mainly a physical threat, but it's very consistent with what sea serpents are supposed to look like, and it has quite a nice illustration that gives it a very snaky appearance, which is not always something you find in your sea serpents. So the sea serpent, like the seahorse, is fine. Now, if you have been paying attention to this podcast for particularly this season, I bet you could guess which module these two creatures come from. That's right, it's X7, the War Rafts of Kron. If you have a sea monster and you're not quite sure where it came from, there's a very good chance that it's X7, the War Rafts of Kron. It might be the Savage Coast, that's another possibility, but X7 seems to be a pretty common one. I haven't read it, but I imagine that you're on a boat for quite a lot of the time, so there's a lot of aquatic encounters. Both the seahorse and the sea serpent are fine, nothing to write home about. Equivalents exist in AD&D, so we've already talked about them, and that's why I chose to cram two of them into this episode. As I mentioned earlier, we've got a new episode of Patreon Duties coming up this week, and at the end of this week, we'll have a My Favorite Monster episode with guest Richard August. So I hope that you'll join me then. Next week, we'll go back to Creature Catalog, and then we'll have a couple of special episodes that I'm really looking forward to. So check out the Pamphlet of Pantheons if you haven't, and I hope that you'll join me then for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening.
If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.